welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Eric Thomas.
Alrighty, we'll just briefly bouncing back to last week here. You guys are able to pick up your first win, a home victory against Sullivan there. So just watching that game back, what kind of stood out to you?
I think the effort that our kids played with was much better than the week before. You know, it was exciting to see Jaden Laviolette. Sorry about that. Jaden Laviolette gets going a little bit. We call him Corvette, so it makes it easier. It was exciting to see him get going a little bit, and our young offensive line have some success and get some things going in the run game. Also, you know, exciting to see Alex pop back a little bit at the quarterback position. I know we didn't throw the ball a lot, but just him being in control of the offense. And executing things the way we needed them executed. And then defensively, obviously, we struggled a little bit early on. It wasn't an effort issue. I mean, the kids are running the football, flying around. We're just trying to, you know, they came out in something a little bit different than what we had planned all week. And understanding these kids and how they get adjusted and understanding as a staff how we need to work to get adjusted, those are great in-game reps for us to figure those things out. It sounds bad, but it was kind of nice to see him come out in something different and us have to scramble a little bit as a defensive staff to make sure that we've got things adjusted and organized. But we got that done. So I was proud of our guys, proud of our coaches getting things executed, really proud of our guys for just kind of staying the course defensively and making it tough on them until we got it adjusted the way we need to.
Yeah, and obviously bouncing right back into conference play this week with a team that's perennial top tier of this conference. So just kind of how big of a test are you expecting this week to be?
Well, it's a big test. I mean, you go from playing a Class 4 team to a Class 6 team, and just the speed of the game and the size and strength of the athletes are different. So it's a big test, not to mention Coach has done a tremendous job with that program. They're very well coached. When you're well coached and you have the playmakers that they have, it creates quite the situation. I think they've lined up in probably 30 different formations already in two games. And defensively, they got a great defensive line, and they're really sound in what they do.
Yeah, and just offensively for them, just kind of what stands out the most from what they're able to do?
Well, obviously the quarterback is the trigger of all of it. He's a tremendous football player, tremendous athlete. He runs really well, does things well for him. Obviously, he's in control of their offense, and you know, they've got a big physical offensive line and skill players all over the place that are really good. So they got the perfect combination to score a lot of points and be efficient in what they do. And right now they're pretty efficient offensively in what they're doing.
Yeah, and obviously they're coming off a shutout defensively last week. Just kind of what were you able to see that they were doing last week that worked for them?
Well, I think the big thing is their defensive line is really good. They got four guys up there that that know how to play football. They look to be really good in the weight room and strong and you know, good size. I mean, they're not huge, but very athletic size, and you can just tell that they're very well put together. They get off the ball really well. Looks like they're a little bit young at the linebacker position, but that defensive front helps cover that. And then they've got athletes all over the secondary that can cause you problems and definitely can get their hands on the ball and take it to the house if they get the opportunity.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
That was Jays head coach Eric Thomas. And, you know, I'm sure that after the week one loss, the main thing that Jays wanted to do last week was come back and get a win as soon as possible. So they did that in the very next game, 35-22 against Sullivan. Might have been a little closer than maybe some Jays fans might have thought, but hey, you'll take the win and be happy about it.
Hey, it was more of a blowout than I predicted.
That was true.
They were able to win by two scores. I had them winning by one. But yeah, it was kind of turned into an old school style football game, and kind of ironic on the night that they honor Pete Atkins for his 100th birthday with him in attendance. But yeah, Jeff City ran the ball They only threw the ball four times, and they ran the ball in the 40s. So it was,
that seems like a definite homage.
Yeah, it was old school on that side. And then we talked all last week in this podcast about how Sullivan's going to run their offense out of the pistol. And they did for the first quarter, and they couldn't get anything going. Then all of a sudden, they pull old school power eye football out of their back pocket and just smash mouth for two quarters plus. They were really giving Jeff City fits. They had two straight 11-play, 80-yard drives that were taking up half a quarter.
Okay.
And so it was really difficult for those guys that were playing two ways because they were just getting worn down. But it was good for the coaching staff. And you just heard Thomas talk about it, about how it was their first test to see how they can adjust in game.
Sure.
And by the start of the fourth quarter, really, they switched to an old Atkins defense, and the goal line hog is what they called it. And so, yeah, if you weren't looking too closely or you didn't know what year it was, you might have thought it was the 1980s for the style of football that was played last week.
Yeah, I think, again, you'll take a win no matter how ugly, no matter how much it doesn't play out to how you thought it was going to play out. I think it's one of those where, yeah, they needed to get back on the winning side of things, and that's going to, you know, go a long way for trying to build some momentum. Now, I think the task gets a lot tougher this week. It's going to be a road game. It's going to be a road game at Rockbridge. So neither one of those two things is probably the thing where you go, yes, let's continue building momentum by playing, you know, this type of game. Well, that's the game that's in front of you, so I guess you're just going to have to play who's in front of you.
Yeah, and the big note of that is road game, in my opinion, because there's so many players in their first season experiencing varsity on this team. There's very few guys that were at least starters last year through the run and got to play in all those road environments, especially in the playoffs that they experienced. So for a lot of these kids, this will be their first test on the road, and quite the test that's going to be with Rockbridge, obviously. So just seeing, especially early on in this game, just kind of how those young pieces respond to kind of the situation that they're dealt with, and just kind of how they answer when they get that first punch thrown at them, and just seeing that response. And that's going to be huge in deciding how this one ends up going.
Yeah. So while both teams come in at 1-1, the Jays are, you know, got an 0-1 in the CMAC, and Rockbridge has a 1-0 in the CMAC. With the courtesy of last week's 50-0 win at Smith Cotton, that's not surprising. But it was also a bounce back win from the standpoint of, you know, they start off the season and lose a heartbreaker 46-45 in triple overtime at Park Hill. So, you know, it's maybe a little bit different kind of, you know, both are coming in off wins. I think, you know, obviously Rockbridge probably didn't have to play very hard to beat Smith Cotton. It looks like it's going to be maybe another tough season for the Tigers. So you just go, okay, I think this is maybe one of those games where you go, yeah, you never want to maybe play Rockbridge in a week three. But I think at this point you're probably like, well, let's figure out, okay, who are we and what are we? And just, you know, let's get another good thing on the ledger to figure out what we need to do to improve to be what the team we want to be, you know, 7-8 weeks from now.
Yeah, and Rockbridge, you kind of mentioned it. They got stunned a little bit in that week one game at Park Hill. You mentioned triple overtime. I'm not 100% sure how that game ended, but I'm pretty sure it ended on a two-point conversion. So it's kind of the most heartbreaking way you can lose a game in the final moments. And then obviously you bounce back in 15-0 win against Smith Cotton. Say what you want about Smith Cotton, but they went in there, they took care of business. They had 500 yards of offense and limited Smith Cotton to less than 100 yards.
Yeah.
So obviously ideal situation. They went into a game that they were supposed to win and they took care of business. So you got to applaud them for that.
It's pretty weird when you can say a team that, you know, is averaging 47.5 points per game and they're just 1-1. You know, you obviously think usually that's going to translate into, yeah, that's probably two victories. So it is a little bit probably hard for them to stomach the fact that they're just 1-1, but they're also looking at this as a game to go, okay, let's build some momentum. Let's see what's going to go on. So I don't think it's probably any surprise for me to pose the question to you. I think it's going to be a matter of Rockbridge's offense being the key to this game. Is it going to be how much do they keep scoring 50, or can the Jays manage to put a dent in that and bring that total way down?
Yeah, and I really think it was good for Jeff City to play Camdenton week one before this game.
Sure.
Because it's not the exact same style of offense. Thomas mentioned that the Rockbridge is lined up in probably 30 different formations so far this year.
Right,
so
right.
They're more of a multiple spread compared to Camden that lines up an empty about 80% of the time. It feels like probably more than that.
Yeah.
So it was a good test for the secondary early because they're definitely going to be tested in this one. Obviously, Brady Davidson, a quarterback for Rockbridge, he's coming off first team All-Conference last year where he was a part-time starter.
Okay.
They were in a quarterback battle. It was actually the Jeff City game where Sam Kaiser went down with a concussion. Brady Davidson stepped in, didn't know too much about him. And said, oh boy, this kid's good.
Right.
He can really sling it, and they got weapons for days. Dre Seaman, Devin Holton, Derek Young are the top three wide receivers that really stick out. But the biggest thing with all of them is they will line up in the backfield every now and then, especially Dre Seaman. And he's also their kick returner, and Jeff said he knows that pretty well. He took a kickoff back for a touchdown last year, and that was big in a close game. But, yeah, limiting this offense is going to be difficult because it seems like they're firing on all cylinders early on in the year, and they can beat you in so many ways, jet sweeps, screens, and if you start to cheat down, they will beat you over the top very efficiently. Davidson ended up completing somewhere in like 76% of his passes last week and almost 400 yards. So
that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's a very potent offense, but Jeff City's already been tested in the secondary and has maybe gone through the early stages of those growing pains that are going to come with a brand new secondary. So another good test tonight, but I think it's coming at a decent time for him.
I imagine it's one of those things where it probably happened long before this, but Davidson has committed to Northern Illinois. I don't think it was just a result of last weekend.
Yeah, no, he's been committed for a while. I don't know exactly when it was, but, I mean, he fits the bill of a D1 quarterback. He looks the part. He's about 6'5", like 215-ish. So you look at him and you see the ability that's probably in there, and then once he starts playing and you see the arm talent and the way he's able to move, it makes a lot of sense why he's going to be playing. And shout out the Mac.
Yeah. Sounds like the Jays are going to have a lot to be worried about now in terms of just slowing down that offense. So if they can slow them down enough, then I think it becomes a game, okay, can you get enough scores then to keep it close or to keep yourself in it and hope that you get a late game scenario where you go, okay, now we only need one score to maybe pull out a victory. What are the Jays going to have to contend with in terms of being able to try to score against this Rockbridge team?
So it was really, I mentioned it earlier, it was really big for the Jefferson City offense to get its run game going last week. And with the way the game flow just kind of played out, they didn't have to throw the ball hardly at all. And I mentioned that, but this week they're going to have to throw the ball. Rockbridge is very talented up front. They have some young linebackers, but their D-line's really good and their secondary can really come up and tackle. So you kind of have to think, watching the film from last week, Rockbridge is going to be pretty prepared for the Jefferson City running game.
Right.
And it's going to a lot of pressure on Alex Wilson's shoulders tonight. You have to think he really stepped up last week and played the whole game, was able to be efficient when he had to throw the football and was able to make some plays in the RPO game and just kind of gain control of the offense and show that he's capable of doing that. It's going to be a whole different test for him tonight. And Eric Thomas did mention to me that balance is going to be key for them offensively, because okay. I definitely wanted to make that a question I asked him, because you see the imbalance they had between run and pass last week, and you have to think it's not going to work like that this time around. So can Jefferson City's offense do it? That's to be determined, but
right.
We're probably going to see a much different looking offense tonight as far as just scheme.
Okay. Well, it goes without saying that whenever you're playing one of the tougher teams that's on your schedule, you want to make sure you've got all hands on deck. How are we looking after two games in terms of the injury front for the Jays?
No new injuries. Zach Barnes, who was a key piece in the backfield last year that really broke out as a sophomore, he has been limited to just long snapping and short snapping duties right now, and they're looking to get him more involved this week. He's been getting back up to speed, and I'm not 100% sure if he's fully cleared, but I at least know that he's going to be somewhat in the game plan out of the slot as a receiver this year.
Okay.
And that's a guy that showed he's really good with the ball in his hands as a running back last year, and the limited opportunities he had, he was able to make plays in the passing game. So that's just another weapon to add to that Jefferson City wide receiving core that's obviously led by Kendrick Johnson. You have the newcomers and Vince Murphy and Judah Harris there to go along with Tanner Wingraff and a couple others that I'm probably missing. So they're getting more pieces to add to this passing game. Now it's just time to see, can they get the ball to those pieces in the right spot and limit the amount of mistakes that they had in week one.
Okay. I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I know that Trevor's going to pick somebody to win 28-21 because that's what he did. So I guess the question is, who do you think is going to win tonight?
I'm going to stick with the 28-21.
Why not? I mean, at this point, keep going.
I was pretty close last week. You have to think Rockbridge is the favorite in this one. The pedigree over the last few years, they've won 7 straight now, I believe, against Jefferson City. It's been quite 2016 was the last time they beat them, so it's been a long time, and I don't think that streak ends tonight, but I do think they keep it close, so I'll go Rockbridge 28, Jefferson City 21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.